Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 is our text this evening. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is in that part of Scripture we know of as the Sermon on the Mount. And as we get to the end of the sermon in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus comes up with various conclusions. One of those conclusions is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, where he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We teach that our eternal destiny depends upon doing the will of the Father, as we've just read in our text. Without adding or subtracting, 2 John 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, but he that abideth in the Father, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul with Apollos teaches that they are not to go beyond that which is written, so no adding to or taking away from the doctrine of Christ. And then 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Peter tells us that we are not to go beyond the oracles of God. We are, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, without subtracting Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, there at the end of the book of God. John makes this statement, chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 19. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now I know some will argue, well, that's just for the book of Revelation. But can you imagine it really so? Can you imagine it taking away from the book of God that is in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Would be any less problematic than doing so from the book of Revelation? No, I can't either. What is it about the will of man that makes it so wrong? We can't take away or add to God's word. That's because people like to insert their own word, their own will. But it's the will of the Father that takes us to heaven or not. Man's will, what's wrong with it? Denominationalism is in place because of the will of man. Take man out of the picture, and every one of the denominations, sometimes even those that call themselves the Lord Church, and it all collapses. It's a house of cards. It's gone in a moment in time. It's like one of those domino setups. You hit one and they all just fall over. Just take away the will of man and it's gone. Perfect unity. God's word is true. I don't know that we understand truly the profundity of that statement. God's word is true. God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, speaking of our eternal salvation, God that cannot lie, cannot. I know this is a profound thing, and not many of us can understand the meaning of this because we haven't thought on it, because it's brand new to you. Nobody ever told you this. I know I've mentioned it from the pulpit, but it may not be enough yet. That God cannot lie because whatever He says becomes reality. Go to the beginning of the book of God and it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." What God says becomes reality. And so, if God says the sky is purple, the sky becomes purple. What He says is truth. No matter whether we call it blue or anything else, if He says the sky is purple, that's it. That settles the matter. And if He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," it's the same. He's saying, "Let there be light." and there was light. Those are the conditions, and you cannot take it away. God's word is true. John 17, verse 17, Jesus prays, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Man, you could say a whole sermon on that particular passage, just on the meaning of that. Sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy by thy truth, that which never changes, that which cannot be a lie. On and on we could go as to the meaning of that word truth, and then identifies the truth. Thy word is truth. Where do we go? The opinions of man? No. That's a house of cards. That's what leads to death. God is infinite in knowledge. Turn with me to Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 6. Sometimes when we get just a little bit too big for our britches, we ought to go to the book of Job and to note some of the things that God did before Job. Because Job was questioning God. God, why are you treating me this way? God, why am I suffering so? And I think I know better than you. Job and God say this. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Job was making accusations. God was saying, you don't know what you're talking about, Job. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Get ready, Job. I'm out about to ask you some questions. What are you going to say? Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Notice, I laid the foundations of the earth. Where were you? The answer is in the question. Wasn't even in the picture. Wasn't thought of yet. He came from God. And so for him to ask about these dark things was ludicrous. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? We have some amazing structures in the world today. Go to the finest one you've ever seen. The Astrodome in Houston was once called the eighth wonder of the world. You go inside and the field is far underground, and still you go down to the bottom and you can still look up and see this fantastic structure above you. It's been taught today. There are many domes and many great structures. But you can go to the architect and ask, why was it done this way? And find out. You can go to school and learn all the principles of architecture and of building. And it would be an amazing process. You would learn so much. But then consider the foundations of the earth. It looks like to us it hangs on nothing. But all the forces that are brought into play, we cannot possibly understand. Oh, there may be some that claim to understand some of it, but we don't understand the ways of God, the ways of His building processes, how He made everything to work so that we could live on this planet. God did that. His ways are the ways of truth. His ways are the ways that work. His ways are the ways that we can live. We ought never to forget that. There is a difference between the knowledge of man and God. Man has a little bit of knowledge. Sometimes we think we have a big amount of knowledge, but then something we don't understand comes along and we learn that we have a little bit of knowledge and it gets smaller every day. Even as we in our supposed greatness gain knowledge year after year, we keep finding out new things to learn. We keep finding out there's so much more to know. Kind of like that Hubble telescope. We knew a great deal about the universe when it was put into the sky, didn't we? And then turn on the Hubble telescope, and then it's they find out the lens is bad. But they put up a new one, and then you turn it on and point it to the universe, and there's much more universe than you ever knew, just because that thing was put into orbit. We find out that there is so much more to learn. Because God is great, His knowledge is not our knowledge. And thank you, God, that Your knowledge is so much more than mine. God's Word is that which reflects reality as it is. God being the ultimate source of reality. Reality as it is. The reality is we are lost in sin without His help. The reality is He's the only place to turn. The reality is He's worthy of being worshipped. And the reality is that He has to tell us how to do it, how to approach Him, and to do it any other way is using the ways of death. Doing the will of the Father is then is acting upon truth, acknowledging reality and God's omniscience. It's a big $5 word, omniscience. It just means that God knows everything. Everything that is in the realm of knowing, God knows. But He can tell. He can say. So God's Word is truth. That's why we must do the will of the Father. And we also need to look at closely that the way of man is death. We go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, the wisdom of Solomon, 1,000 years before Christ, the wisest man in all the earth at that time, wisdom given to him by God, and he noticed this truth. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Open the newspaper. And you can see this world is full of fools. Fools who believe that their way is right when it comes to approaching God, when it comes to dealing with the universe, when it comes to dealing with one's neighbor, when it comes to statecraft. But there is a world full of fools that have followed their own way instead of God's way and do so stubbornly. They don't learn. And the end thereof are the ways of death. When you don't follow truth, when you refuse to follow truth, there's only one thing that can happen. The Apostle Peter was simply a disciple of Jesus. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, our Lord was speaking some profound things with regard to His blood and His flesh. And a lot of people were confused. And in his confusion as well, he was asked by our Lord, which way are you going to go? Everybody else is leaving. What are you going to do? Peter said the smartest thing he could ever say. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He recognized, I'm so many years old, I assume Peter was at least 30 years old by that time, and I have never seen any other place where I can go for truth, anywhere other place where I can go for life, any other place where I can count on for eternity. Thou hast the words of eternal life. He had the truth. Now, we may not understand the truth. In fact, there are a number of things that commonly are said, I just don't understand. Many people don't understand why baptism is necessary. And that's okay. We don't have to understand right away about some of those things. Why does God require this? Why does God require that? You want to get more confused? Go back into the Old Testament law and ask why God required some of those things. But he did. Ours is to obey. And the smartest man in all the earth will say, yes, Lord, thy servant heareth. The way of man is death. We need to get out of ourselves and decide that our own machinations are not enough to get us to heaven. Our own musings. We think we understand some things. We come to find out that we don't. Man without God on his own ends in death. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, if you will. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the way of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's a great statement. When I say great, I mean monumental. A monumental statement about the condition of man. That man, when he thinks of his own way, how to get to God, or how to get to eternity, or how to ascend higher than his peers, well, the thoughts are the ways of death. Man without God on his own ends in death. Following the will of man is acting upon a lie. Go to a great seminary library and you have the works of great thinkers of time past. Men like John Calvin. Men like the popes of Rome who have their body of works listed in volumes and volumes. The church fathers of the past, Martin Luther and John Calvin and John Wesley and on we could go. The things written, what man thinks about God, what man thinks about holiness and righteousness. But there's only one book. There's only one book where you can open it, read it, trust it, and know that you're pleasing God. That book contains God's truth, and the ways of man are death. When we choose to follow men, that is, following the ways of denominationalism, rather than God and His Word, that is, His unaltered Word, we sin and find ourselves hell-bound. And we can only end with these words. Repent while you can. We need to note that our neighbors may have not have heard these words, may not have known this truth. It's there for you to teach them. They need to know that the ways of man are death. And then they need to know that the way of God, the way of truth, is the only way. And God, He doesn't put up with anything else. God limits man's interactions with Him based upon His words. The will of the Father. Have you done the will of the Father? If not, make it so this very evening. If you have once become a Christian, but you're following the wrong way, you're following the way of man, that is, the way of death, ask Him for forgiveness. If you repent of that sin, He will forgive you. Get back on the right way and do it God's way. If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, or you've been baptized in a way that is of men, baptized as an infant, baptized with rose petals, baptized with some other way other than God's way, make it right today. Do it His way. Obey the will of the Father, what you find in the Scriptures, and don't leave that path. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?